Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Hey guys, my name is Rowan and I'm a sophomore in college majoring in public health. I was born and raised in the United States and I live in South Carolina.
Hey guys, my name is Rand and I'm a senior in high school and I was also born and raised in the United States. So Rowan, why are we making this podcast?
We're doing this because it can be really hard to be a young Muslim today. It's a very complex identity to have, and we want to talk about the challenging aspects, the rewarding aspects, and the day in and day out of life as a young Muslim. Rand, what can people expect from this podcast?
So every 2 weeks, we will release a new episode that's going to be filled with discussions with other young Muslims, everyday stories, jokes, and anecdotes from our personal experiences, and just conversations about everything and anything that a young Muslim goes through today.
Sounds awesome. Today, we're going to briefly talk about the unique position that Muslim youth are in. And I mean, I personally think that we are in a unique position. I don't know if you think the same
thing.
Yeah,
I agree.
But we really are in a unique position because our parents, at least for you and I, our parents immigrated to the United States from a Muslim country. Mm-hmm. But then we were both born and raised in the United States, obviously a non-Muslim country. So growing up, having this different culture at home versus school and in, you know, the outside society, and then being also raised as a Muslim in a non-Muslim country by parents who grew up in a totally different world, mm-hmm. is a really difficult experience. And it puts us in a unique position because there's really no rule book or any precedent for this. There wasn't really a generation of people that did this same exact thing before us. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of pioneering this and setting the stage for what it means to be a Muslim growing up in a non-Muslim country today.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So I think the biggest struggle that Muslim youth have today is like going overseas to visit their families' countries and not feeling like they fit in there as well. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like whenever I go overseas, there's just like this other rule book that I have to follow that doesn't like coincide with what I follow here, you know?
Yeah. Like too, like going overseas, we just kind of feel like we're almost like a display and we're being poked and prodded at by everyone because there's this idea that being American is such a great thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are so fascinated by the fact that we're American. But for me, I just kind of want to feel included and I just want to feel like I'm treated normally and I don't want to feel like this kind of display. And so it can be frustrating to experience that overseas and it leads to a lot of like really interesting situations, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, actually once I had this situation happen and it was kind of weird because like we were going downtown and my uncle was like, don't speak in English at all. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And we walk in and we talk to the guy, we were purchasing the items and then he hears me speak English to my mom. So then he comes up and he's like, hey, I'm from New Jersey. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, we're both from the US and we're both overseas. And he was like, yeah. And you know, I really like it here and whatever. He just started talking. And then we go and we're like purchasing the items. And then he had given us one price at the beginning and then he doubled the price because he knew that we were from the US. And then we find out that he's not from New Jersey and like he has nothing to do with the US or anything. And he's lived all his life in Jordan. And I was just like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah. And I had a similar experience too. When I visited my family overseas, we went to a restaurant and obviously we have a very American accent when we speak English. So I was ordering a milkshake off the menu and I said a milkshake and the waiter was very confused by what I was saying and he didn't understand what I wanted and I kept repeating it and he still didn't understand. And so then I had to get one of my relatives to say it for me so that the waiter could understand. And he was like, oh, you want a milkshake. So those just kind of instances were really weird because, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm still an outsider. I'm still weird. And then my whole family made fun of me for it because they were imitating the way I say milkshake in my American accent. But I think those situations can be really funny. But, you know, at the end of the day, it makes you feel alienated and excluded, you know?
I mean, they're not like big scale situations, yeah. But it's just when they build up on each other, you're like, oh my God, I just want to be normal here.
Yeah, exactly. And you just want to fit in and you feel like you should fit in because it's your mm-hmm. parents' culture and it's the culture you have at home. And when you come back from school, you know, your parents are speaking to you in a different language and you're eating food from this country. But then when you actually visit that country, it's a completely different experience.
Yep, exactly.
So I think we've established that going overseas doesn't really make us feel the inclusion that we all strive for. Mm-hmm. So I guess if we like fly back to the US, for me, when I'm coming back to the US, I'm super pumped to be home
too.
And I'm really excited to have like central air conditioning and all the things.
I breathe differently when I get here.
Exactly. So, you know, coming back to the US, I'm really excited to be back home and feeling included. But then I come back and I don't have that experience at all. And especially in school, I tend to feel really alienated sometimes. And when I started college, I had this group of people that I was hanging out with, and we were having a really great time. We were all like, yay, college. And we were starting together. And during the week, we were going through similar experiences with our classes and with being new to university lifestyle. But then on the weekends, everyone would go out and party, and then there would be alcohol. And so as part of my Muslim identity, I choose not to drink. And so then I would feel really excluded on the weekends. And so then there was just this big divide between me and then everyone else and the activities that we choose to partake in. So that was really difficult for me. And I don't know if you've had similar experiences or not.
For me, it's not like in school or anything. But it's just when I'm walking around, sometimes I forget that I look different. And then like someone will stare at me or say something, and I'm like, okay, great. Well, now I remember. And it's just like a really bad feeling to have, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's really frustrating to kind of feel welcomed and included and then suddenly be reminded by someone that you, you know, that says something rude to you or by an experience that you can't partake in, that you are different. And so not being included anywhere is a really awful feeling, because we go overseas, we fly halfway across the world, and we don't feel included. And then we fly halfway back across the world to our home where we were born and raised, and we still don't feel included. And so for me, I feel kind of trapped. Like, I don't know where to go, and I don't know where I'll feel included.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, me and my friends were at the fair, and this guy comes up to us, and he was like, oh, do you guys speak English, because of like how we appeared? And we were like, yeah, we do speak English. And you know, it's not a big deal that he asked us that question, but it's just like, over and over, people ask us questions like this, and we're just like, okay, so when are these questions not going to be asked anymore? And when are we going to be normal in society?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, when people ask us these questions, I often, people will come up to me and be like, what's the big deal if someone asks you if you speak English, or if someone asks you, you know, where are you from? And they insist that you're not from America. But these are all instances of microaggressions and situations that we brush off as not important, or that people want us to brush off as not important. But at the end of the day, when microaggressions build up on top of each other, then that leads to a huge divide between Muslims and Americans. And then the question arises of, well, what does it mean to be a Muslim American? And I think that's where a lot of Muslim youth are trapped. And it's a valid question. You know, all these different situations happen to us, and we don't really try and address them directly. And I think that when we allow these things to build up and we don't talk about why they actually are problems, then we just kind of allow this culture of misunderstanding and ignorance towards Muslims in America to develop. And it leads to us not feeling included. And I think that's really where it stems.
These questions show that there's a bigger issue. So there's a difference between questions that are asked like, you know, why do you wear that, or things of that sort. And then there's a question of, oh, do you speak English? And that question, I feel, is just like rooted with ignorance, because people have like an image of what you should look like if you speak English, or can you speak English? And apparently people feel like if you look like us, then you can't speak English.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think we feel super trapped because in American society, we don't fit in completely. And then in our parents' culture overseas, we don't fit in either. And then for me, I turn to the Muslim community to find other Muslim youth that are going through the same things. And even when I turn there, I feel like I can't 100% be myself, because there are all these other issues that Muslim youth face from their own communities.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Muslim youth are just like being labeled into these different categories, like, you know, you're too religious, you're not religious enough. And I think it's for both guys and girls. Like, you don't come to the masjid, so you're not religious enough. You don't do this, so you're too religious. Just like these things that are just adding to the pressure of being a Muslim youth in America.
Yeah, exactly. And it's completely unfair to label Muslim youth, and it makes it so that there's absolutely nowhere that young Muslim youth growing up in non-Muslim countries today can turn to and bring 100% of their identity.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like there are different parts of society that I enter, and I enter with part of my identity, but I always feel like I kind of have to leave part of it behind. And it's really hard to bring your whole identity. And I don't think anyone's figured out how to bring their whole identity in.
Yeah, I agree. But I think this is because we are all still learning, and we're all trying to figure it out together. And I think if we all come together and help each other with different aspects of it, we can one day figure out how to be a Muslim youth living in America. So let us know if you guys agree or disagree, or if you guys have had similar experiences as well.
And you can let us know by following us on Instagram at Real Talk Real Muslims, or by emailing us. And we would love to hear about you guys' thoughts on what we've said today. Thanks for joining this Real Talk with Real Muslims.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye.